It is important that you know what we claim to believe at Daleville Christian Church, and this our affirmation of faith for today from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We believe Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. The reading of God's Word today is from John's Gospel book in the 11th chapter, just a portion of that chapter, verses 38 through 44. And here the Gospel of John talks about the death of Lazarus and Jesus going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I want to say, for the benefit of those who may hear this sermon online, that I hesitated to share this message because it was so directed to Daleville Christian Church. However, there are portions of this message that I believe could benefit churches, Jesus' churches, congregations. And so especially, if you are a member of a congregation, part of a faith community of worship, I would pray that you take encouragement from this word today. Churches all over this nation are experiencing low attendance and low participation. And there are reasons for low attendance, and not just here at Daleville Christian Church. Reasons, worldly reasons. In our area, the population's been dropping for 35 years. 35 years. Worship attendance has been dropping nationwide in all areas, but especially where the population is not growing. The number of people who claim no religious faith has increased. People who claim no religious faith at all has increased in this country. There are reasons for the trough we are in. But you realize what else that means. That means the reason we even exist as a congregation has increased. The reasons we even exist as a congregation have increased. Since there are more people than ever in this country's history who claim no religious affiliation, there are even more people who need to hear about Jesus. Jesus who wants us to worship together. Now we have to consider all possibilities as to the trough that we are in attendance. It may be that there are some folks who would like to see me go, leave as pastor. Maybe for some people, being here as long as I have been is long enough for anyone. So some figure, if I don't go to worship, they'll have to change pastors. Maybe. But consider this. First of all, maybe you could have brought this up at a meeting. That would have been helpful. But secondly, you're going about it all wrong. You're supposed to pray me out of here. You see, I respond to spiritual signs more than earthly signs. And consider this. I would suggest that very few people are moving to live here. It will be tough to find a pastor who would move here. Thirdly, this is quickly becoming a turnaround situation. You have to find someone who is skilled, able, and ready to turn around a situation. Given that most congregations are in similar situation, then these pastors are not easy to find. And finally, I'm already here. I moved in and everything. And I only live three houses down from the church. And I'm willing to work on this. And more than that, I believe that I'm called to this work. Or as a line from one of my favorite movies put it this way, a soldier was being given a very dangerous and difficult assignment. The colonel told the soldier, "We need you to do this because we need someone with unique abilities. And we need someone brave enough to do this. And one more thing, we need someone dumb enough to do this." Friends, I'm your man. And I'll have a chance to return to these observations in the coming weeks when we focus in the month of September on being in worship. Let's take a look at God's word for today. This scripture is familiar to you all, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I didn't think it necessary to read almost the whole chapter because we do know this report of Lazarus rising from the dead. But we did not hear the 11th verse where Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of Lazarus's death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. You see, we might notice the disciples didn't find it strange that Jesus knew about events happening miles away from where they were presently standing. They didn't think that strange at all. They could even have a discussion about it. Jesus knew all kinds of things about stuff that Jesus was not present for. So Jesus announced to them Lazarus' death. But then Jesus said, "I'm going there to wake Lazarus up." Lazarus was dead. And Jesus said he was going to raise him from the dead. And so we read later in that chapter 11 of John's Gospel book. So they took away the stone, then Jesus looked up and Jesus prayed. Then Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus is raised by Jesus' word. Lazarus is raised from the dead by Jesus' word. Jesus called Lazarus, and he shuffled out of his tomb. Jesus called him, and he shuffled out of his tomb. We are given some details concerning Lazarus' death. Lazarus had been dead for days, several days. Lazarus is not hiding. Lazarus is not faking. Lazarus is not comatose. Lazarus is dead. And Jesus' word calls Lazarus to rise and shuffle out of the tomb. I wonder if you remember the story, or I should say the vision that the prophet Ezekiel had, the vision of the dry bones. In that vision, the important detail is that the bones were dry. The moment of death for that creature was some time past. But the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel and says, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord brings life. And the prophet Ezekiel goes on to say, "I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Then the Lord states, "Breathe into these slain that they might live." The breath of God is the Spirit of God. It's the same word in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament. The Spirit of God gives life even to dry bones, even to those creatures long dead, like Lazarus. Does anyone remember the old song, "Dem Bones"? You know, "Dem bones, dem bones, dem dry bones, dem bones, dem bones, dem dry bones." The song has been modernized, which only means they dropped out the Bible references. The song originally began, "Ezekiel connected them, dry bones. Ezekiel connected them, dry bones. Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. Toe bone connected to foot bone. Foot bone connected to the heel bone. The heel bone connected to..." You get it. You know where it's going with that. And so on. But it finishes with the line, "Now hear the word of the Lord." It's the word of God that gives life even to that which is dead. Hear me. It is the word of God that gives life even to that which is dead. The word of God gives life even to the dead. Say it with me. The word of God gives life even to the dead. So what does this all mean? Well, first, what it doesn't mean. This congregation's not dead. This congregation is not even seriously ill. This congregation may have fallen into some complacency, and complacency can be fatal. But that's why we're talking about the church today. But here's the point. Jesus is here to wake us up. Jesus went to Lazarus to wake Lazarus. There is life in Jesus' word for individuals. There is life in Jesus' word for Jesus' church. Life. This would not be Lazarus' last resurrection. This would be Lazarus' first resurrection. He would have another resurrection to eternal life. And Jesus does that by his call, by his word. The prophet Ezekiel sees the breath or spirit of God giving life to dry bones. Now, the prophet Ezekiel was prophesying to a dead nation. There were Israelites, but there was no nation of Israel. It was destroyed by the Babylonians. But enough of their history. Let's talk about our history. This church was not placed here and built here simply to provide a place of worship. This church was placed here to provide a place, a base of operation to follow the Lord Jesus Christ together, not alone, but together, to be able to do more, reach more, serve more. This is not a place for just your family, because just your family isn't enough for your God. The God you claim is yours, that God claims you. The God who claims you claims others. Who are they and where are they? God is sending you out to find them and call them. Your God doesn't care if you don't want to do that. Did God care if Jonah didn't want to preach to the city of Nineveh? No, God didn't care that Jonah did not want to speak in the city of Nineveh. Go read the book of Jonah. God didn't care if Jonah didn't want to save the people of Nineveh. And God didn't have a backup plan. God did not have a plan B. The plan was for Jonah to go to Nineveh to proclaim God to the people and have them turn to God. So I'm sorry, I cannot claim that your God is going to be sympathetic to you if you say that you don't want to talk to other people about Jesus and Jesus' church. I'm sorry, I can't say that. It's in the Bible. Your God is not going to be sympathetic to you if you say you don't want to talk to people about Jesus. Jesus commanded the disciples to go out. When Jesus came, Jesus himself said, I have to go out to others because that's why I came. Jesus didn't keep Jesus to himself. And you say, Pastor, that's silly. Is it? Why would you keep Jesus to yourself? So Jesus isn't just your Jesus. You are his, not the other way around. And your Jesus has called you to reach others, to open this place, to let others come and worship the Lord, to serve the Lord in worship. This is the new life that Jesus is giving. Jesus' word and God's Spirit will bring new life. This is the new life Jesus is calling his church to. We are called to serve the Lord in worship. Worship is your one-stop shop for your praise, your prayers, your hearing of God's word, your response and interface to God's word, for the transformation that the Lord is working in all of us. So I'll give you some free tips on inviting and welcoming people in worship, okay? First of all, we already have visitors. Praise the Lord. That's a trust, you know. Jesus is trusting us with visitors to worship. Jesus doesn't have to trust us with visitors, and there have been periods in this church recently when the Lord did not trust us with any visitors at all. And you say to me, but Pastor, most of those people are family. So did you tell those family members you were glad to see them in worship? It's that simple. This is called being thankful 101, or as the kids say, gratitude 1.0. Be grateful. And why? Why should we do that? Well, it's called practice. So you can say, I was glad to see you in worship today. So you can say, we value each person who seeks the Lord in worship. So you can say, I hope you were blessed in worship today. So you can say, I believe that's what God wants for you today, to be blessed in worship today. Practice with every person who comes in here. Say you were glad to see people in worship, even if you see them in worship many Sundays. Why? because I'm telling you you're glad that you're seeing them in worship. You're glad, see? Be glad about it. Now, what if for some reason you are not glad to see someone in worship? Well, I suggest you take the rest of that worship service and pray that the Lord make you glad for that other person being in worship. And you can tell the Lord that if the Lord doesn't turn you around before the end of the worship service, the pastor's going to be pretty unhappy, and friends, let's not even go there. You can pray, Lord, we only got 45 minutes. You've got to get this done before the worship's over. Make me glad for that person being in worship. Our Jesus has the word of life. Our Jesus calls us to live. Our Jesus continues to call us to serve. Our Jesus continues to call us to follow him. And our Jesus calls us to call others to follow Jesus. And I will see you in worship. Amen.